Shaluka, good morning to you. And before you begin, do you have any questions?
I do not.
And please remove your mask so that we can hear and understand what you have to say. And Mr. Ralph, you are also here. Do you have any questions?
No, sir.
With that, Ms. Shaluka, you may proceed.
Chief Justice Hebekin, may it please the court. My name is Maren Shaluka, and I'm here from Scott's Bluff to ask this court to reverse a guilty verdict. As I was coming here from Scott's Bluff, I asked myself more than once, what are you doing? I am representing an officer of the court, a public defender with a private practice and a heavy caseload whom we will admit was very guilty of a class 4 felony possession of cocaine. John's arrest caused disgrace to the justice system. It caused chaos to our judicial district when our judges had to reassign all of his many cases, and the ripple effects might continue for years from that. And the evidence that John created against himself was appalling. If you've seen the record, you've seen crazy text messages in which he was scamming his own dealer out of free cocaine under the ruse that he was giving coke to a local prosecutor in exchange for fixing cases. So that was another black eye for the justice system, and it was an undeserved slander for that prosecutor. So there is ample material for righteous anger at John. If the trial court was disgusted, I would understand. If this court was disgusted, I would understand. But the law does not let judges rest in the simplicity of disgust. The law pushes this court just like it really pushed me. And I'm here to answer my own question because I believe the state did not produce sufficient evidence to support a conviction for distribution. And when this court reviews the precise question that was presented at trial carefully, I think your honors will see that it is a more complex question than simply having an investigator repeat that old canard of, well, it's a long wait. The precise question that was presented at trial was whether this controlled delivery was enough to support intent to deliver on January 7th, 2020, which is the date of the arrest. And the answer to that question was no. What the trial court found, and the trial court's exact finding was, although Mr. Lujan, who was the snitch, has credibility problems, much of his testimony is corroborated by and evidence of guilt is provided by statements Mr. Werthmann made, text messages he sent, in addition to the amount of cocaine involved on the date of the arrest. So if we break that down, those three things, the statements that John made in his post-arrest interview were a confession to straight possession of cocaine only. He consistently denied any intent to distribute. He denied trying to purchase an amount that would constitute circumstantial evidence of intent to distribute. The text messages that he sent, the text messages ended 7 months before the arrest, 7 months before, and they were patently false at any rate. The law enforcement witnesses admitted that nothing in these bizarre junkie talk text messages could be corroborated. Nothing. The state disavowed the claim that John was distributing cocaine to the prosecutor to fix cases, and that was the only distribution claim in the text messages, which leads to, you know, something itself that was very strange. It was the state that was offering these text messages as evidence, 404B evidence of intent to distribute. But at the same time that the state was offering it, the state was also saying, but we disavow the exact claim that, and only claim that's being made, which was that John is distributing cocaine to the local prosecutor.
Did you assign a 404 error?
No, we didn't. We didn't assign the 404 error in that. But that was, you know, that's the incongruity of the state's claim, that they're on the one hand saying, use this to convict him, and on the other hand saying, but we also say that we're also disavowing the exact and only claim that's in there. It makes it very strange.
The state was disavowing that he was giving the cocaine to the prosecutor. Is that correct?
Correct, Judge Bumpa.
But what about the amounts of cocaine that he received from those other transactions? There was ounces at a time. Is that correct?
So in the texts or on the controlled delivery?
In the text,
the prior
contacts.
In the text, yeah. The amounts that he got, what those were 7 months before. Those were 7 months before.
Is anybody disputing those amounts?
There's
a comment like, I'll give an ounce to the prosecutor and 2 ounces to me or something of that. That's 3 ounces.
More than that. It was massive amounts.
That's a lot of cocaine. Are we to believe that your client was using all that cocaine just for his own personal use?
That's what addicts do.
And stay alive?
I'm sorry?
And stay alive?
And stay alive. Go to any Narcotics Anonymous meeting and you're not going to find people sitting there saying, you know what I did when I was using? I dabbled. I went to, you know, I used cocaine occasionally, once every month. Addicts use a lot of cocaine. That's why they're addicts. That's why they ruin their lives. You ruin their careers, burn down their relationships, and die. They use massive amounts of drugs. That's what addicts do.
So what is our standard of review here?
Well, that goes back to the question I was asking myself driving here from Scott's Bluff. What am I doing? Because the standard of review that I have to overcome in order to get relief from my client is I have to show that the trier of fact was irrational. I have to show that a judge who has had good stewardship over this case and was not displaying any signs that he was out of his mind during this trial was irrational. I have to show that no rational trier of fact could have done this. And I don't want to be disrespectful to our trier of fact in this case. But what I do think happened is I think that the judge answered the wrong question. And I think that if the trier of fact were focused on the correct question in this case, and I'm going to tell you what I think the correct question was at this trial, I think that the trier of fact would have reached a different response. And so that goes to and this is why I asked Judge Funk which question you were asking here. It was the third thing that Judge Birch had asked, which was the third thing that he mentioned, which was the amount of cocaine involved on the day of the arrest. The only evidence of the amount of cocaine involved on the day of the arrest came from Jeff Lujan, the snitch, a witness whom law enforcement acknowledges to be a stupendous liar. There was no text and no audio showing that John asked for that amount. And the operative term in controlled delivery is controlled. John did not control what's delivered to him. That was controlled by law enforcement and by Mr. Lujan. And for that reason, the weight of the narcotics that was delivered in this arrest can't support the conviction. With all of the text messages in this evidence in this case, there wasn't a text in January 2020 in which John ordered up an ounce of coke. Law enforcement prepared an ounce of cocaine based on the word of its stupendously dishonest snitch who said that John orally asked for it.
So are you asserting that the judge could not have taken into consideration the evidence of other transactions between Mr. Lujan and Mr. Worthman?
I think that the district court got distracted by those appalling text messages, which is easy to do. I did when I first read them. My head exploded the first time that I read them. And I think that what happened is that the district court got distracted by them. The exact question in this case was how, you know, where did this controlled delivery come from? The amount of cocaine that was determined for this controlled delivery came exclusively from the word of the snitch.
I'm not sure you actually answered my question,
okay.
Which was,
I'm sorry.
Are you asserting that the trial judge could not take into consideration evidence that there were other transactions between Mr. Lujan and Mr. Worthman And apparently, some of those transactions involved at least ounces of cocaine.
I understand your question now. Yes, thank you, Chief Justice. Could take them into account. However, those transactions ended 7 months before the date of the arrest. And leading up to this arrest, when all of that evidence is taken into account, and you look at the text messages in the 24 hours leading up to this arrest, and look at the audio recording for this arrest, what you had was John Werthmann saying, I don't have $500 for this purchase. I have $100, and what am I getting for that?
Is there some evidence that Mr. Werthmann could have seen how much he was getting at the time of the controlled buy? I mean, something's handed over to him, right?
That's a very good question, Judge Pavlik. He says, what am I getting for this? And I had broken this down in my questions of Mr. Lujan and said, he asked the question, what am I getting for this, before he saw what you were going to hand to him, this bag of the rock of cocaine. And Mr. Lujan said, that's correct. The $100, and what am I getting for this? And then Mr. Lujan handed him the cocaine, at which point Mr. Lujan, you know, or I'm sorry, Mr. Werthmann expressed pleasure at seeing how much cocaine he was going to get for it. And that's important. That's important. He didn't know what he was going to get. He did not know. A distributor would know what he's going to get, because a distributor has people he needs to supply. A distributor has people he needs to distribute to. John, on the other hand, said, what am I getting for this, before he was handed the bag of the cocaine that was being delivered to him.
I beg your pardon. Is that argument going to intent to deliver?
Yes, Your Honor.
Is that the focus of the element, intent?
Yes, Justice Miller.
Right. You have to have a lot of stuff if you're going to look like someone intending to thereafter deliver.
Yes, Justice Miller-Lerman. Yes, he did not have the intent to. There's not evidence to support that on that day he had intent to deliver. On that day is what the state had to prove, that on January 7th he had the intent to deliver. They can't show that back 7 months ago he had the intent to deliver. They have to show that on January 7th he had the intent to deliver. And on January 7th, they didn't have that evidence. And that's why I'm asking this court to focus in on that narrow question and to reverse this conviction. I know it's an audacious request, but I think that I have the evidence to support it. And that's why I would ask this court to reverse. Thank you for hearing my argument, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Ralph, good morning to you.
May it please the court. My name is Austin Ralph. I represent the state of Nebraska. Two issues on appeal. Werthmann argues, one, evidence is insufficient to support his conviction, and two, that the district court abused its discretion overruling his motion for new trial. As set forth in my brief, as I will detail here shortly, we disagree. Our position is that the evidence was in fact sufficient to support the conviction, and that the district court had a proper basis to overrule the motion for new trial. So we ask this court to affirm. Moving to the sufficiency argument, obviously, as opposing counsel noted, as this court is aware, the standard of review is in our favor. All we have to show is that when the evidence is viewed in the light most favorable to the prosecution, that a rational trier of fact could have found all of the essential elements beyond reasonable doubt. We have that here. We have the crime charged and convicted is possession of cocaine, 10 to 28 grams, with intent to distribute. We obviously had the lab report showing it's cocaine. That's the requisite amount. We have sufficient evidence to show that he possessed it. We have an audio recording. We have the text messages, him accepting the cocaine, and we have intent to distribute based on the amount of the cocaine, as well as the testimony from both the officer and Lujan himself, that in the amounts we're talking about, in the amount specifically on January 7th, 2020, that we are talking about, that exceeds a user quantity of cocaine.
Counsel, there's no evidence of transaction logs, no communications with clients or things of that nature, no cash, no scale, no cutting agents, no packaging, any of those things. Is that correct?
Correct.
So all we're to rely upon is the amount to determine intent to distribute?
Certainly that is, I would say, the primary factor, but you also combine that with the testimony, the expert testimony, as well as the text messages from 2019, which I think are relevant to show intent to distribute, that he's receiving or had received large amounts of cocaine that far exceeded any sort of user quantity, which would suggest, and which was offered under 4042, that he's doing the same here on January 7th, 2020. I'd also note that this court has specifically held State v. Dragonescu 2008, the evidence of the quantity of a controlled substance possessed, combined with expert testimony that such quantity indicates an intent to deliver, can be sufficient for a jury to infer an intent to deliver. And that's all we're saying here as far as the standard of review. We have that. I'd also note that in their in the opposing counsel's brief, she basically conceded that. Page 17 of her brief, we acknowledge that an investigator's testimony, that my opinion is that this is more than personal use, can support a conviction. That's all we're asking for, sufficiency of the evidence. We're not saying that they must or should have, or even, you know, more likely should have. It's just, could a rational trier of fact have found that? Yes, an opposing counsel conceded that in her brief. And I think that's the end of the inquiry as far as the sufficiency of the evidence issue.
You're not relying on the text messages for anything beyond the amounts that were discussed, right? You're not asking us to say, well, this is evidence that he was distributing to the prosecutor.
No, because the evidence, those text messages were specifically offered for four distinct purposes, to show intent, to show possession, knowledge that it was cocaine, and I forget the fourth one. But the substantive charge here is just for the 1 ounce or approximately 1 ounce of cocaine, January 7th, 2020. And so it's offered as 404 purposes to show intent to distribute, primarily. So no, we're not saying that, he gave it to the prosecutor. That obviously was not, alleged below by the state. And it's more that those amounts were received, which opposing counsel and the defendant never contested. And that is relevant for 404 purposes. We're not saying that the substantive charge is for the, you know, 4 ounces or 4 zips to the prosecutor back, you know, in 2019. We're talking.
I beg your pardon. This is Justice Miller Lerman. What I'm curious about is, does this case, if affirmed, stand for the proposition that anyone who possesses 28 grams is capable of being convicted of intent to deliver or distribute, right? Even if in real life they're, forgive the expression, they, you know, they're addicted.
Sure. Well, I think yes, and that proposition already exists based on Dragonescu as well as other cases. But we're not saying that it's a jury or fact finder, the bench or the district court in this case, is required to find that based on the amount and the testimony of the expert witnesses that they intended to distribute. But it's certainly permissible. And for our purposes, when we're talking standard of review on sufficiency of the evidence, that's all we have to show, that it's.
So based for the, and I beg your pardon. So for the intent element, the evidence that would directly establish intent upon which the fact finder can rely is the testimony that 28 grams is compatible with intent to distribute. And then what other evidence upon which would the fact finder could rely to establish intent?
Well, I think in this case, it would be the amount of the cocaine, the expert testimony from the officer, as well as Lujan saying that this is not user quantity. And then you can use the 2019 text messages as relevant to the intent to distribute, because they were admitted under 404, to say this is a pattern, basically, that, you know, he's receiving this as he has in the past, and that these quantities are not user quantity. And so that, I think, is the primary evidence upon which the fact finder would rely to find the intent to distribute here.
What's your response to appellant's argument about the lack or absence of evidence of Mr. Worthman's knowledge that he was getting an ounce on the day of the transaction for which he was charged?
Well, again, with our standard of review, it's not necessarily what we don't have, it's what we do have. What we had here was a number of things from which a rational trier of fact could find that he knew the amount of cocaine he was receiving that he intended to distribute. That would be the testimony of Lujan saying that I spoke with Mr. Worthman. I forget the name, but they met in person. He asked for an ounce. The text messages kind of corroborated at least that they had spoken that day, that they had set up this meet. And then you have, of course, the audio recording where Mr. Worthman says, you know, they have sort of the buildup to the initial exchange. And he says, you know, I've got this $100, but you know, what am I getting, as opposing counsel said. And he says, let me get the exact, I get the exact language here. I can give you this, I can give you this, but what am I getting? In response, Lujan gave the cocaine to Worthman saying, best you've ever seen, check it out. Worthman says, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen that. All right, here you go. So he obviously sees the amount. He's not surprised by it. He doesn't say, wait a minute, this is way more than I anticipated. He accepts that amount of cocaine, which I think is also circumstantial evidence that he intended to buy that amount of cocaine even before he got in the truck. And then after he sees it, he affirmatively takes it, says, you know, that he and Lujan are straight, presumably referencing the wiping of Lujan's debt to him. And says, you know, hey, I know you're good for it. That's the deal. Basically saying, you know, I'm going to get you the rest of the money later. So to me, all of that is circumstantial evidence that he intended, that he asked for this amount. He was not surprised by it, and he accepted it, which would all go to intent to distribute. Unless this court has further questions, I'll submit on the new trial motion on my brief, and we ask that you affirm the judgment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No,
there is no time for rebuttal. Counsel, that concludes arguments in State versus Worthman. You are excused. Thank you very much. And the court will go on to the next case of the day, which is State versus Cullen.